This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Life has completely changed for the character of Miranda on HBO's Sex and the City. Last season ended with the birth of her baby. This season, she's adjusting to being the single mother of an infant and trying to figure out how much she can keep of her old social life.
I can't go. I'm just not ready to be separated from the baby.
What?
I'm kidding! Steve took him 2 hours ago. I'm free! I'm free! I'm leaving the compound!
While Miranda figures out her new life, the actress who plays her, my guest Cynthia Nixon, is pregnant with her second child. Nixon is nominated for an Emmy for her portrayal of Miranda. She started acting professionally in her early teens. Until Sex and the City, she was best known for her theater work. Her character on Sex and the City is trying to keep up her law career and social life by hiring a nanny for the baby and sharing some of the parenting with her former boyfriend, who's the baby's father. In this scene, she's ready to go with her friend Carrie for a weekend in Atlantic City after leaving the baby with his father. But just as she's ready to leave, he shows up at the door with the baby.
Hi, how you doing?
Steve, what's wrong? What are you doing back here?
Oh, I thought I forgot the wipes. But it turns out, actually, I don't think I can do this.
Excuse me?
I'm afraid that I might break them or something. Look, I accidentally scratched his face with my dirty fingernail. Look.
It's nothing. You've taken care of him before. It's been fine.
But for 2 hours, yeah, for 2 hours I'm great. But, you know, after 2 hours, I might accidentally kill him.
Look, we're both afraid we're going to kill the baby. That's a given. But we made an agreement this week. Monday to Friday, I try not to kill him. Saturday and Sunday, you try not to kill him.
Cynthia Nixon, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Now, your character, Miranda, has just become a single mother.
Yes.
In real life.
Somewhat. Yes, go ahead.
In real life, you're pregnant for the second time.
I am.
Yes. What is Miranda most unprepared for about motherhood?
I think Miranda is not prepared for the way, for Miranda is a control freak, and Miranda is a high-powered lawyer, and she is used to scheduling everything, and she is used to barking and having people jump, and she is used to, you know, dividing up her life, and she's, you know, a multitasker and efficiency expert, and I think she's not so good at, you know, with people all the time, and she's not so good at sort of going moment to moment. So I think the baby overwhelms her. I think in the scene that we just heard, it's a perfect example of she's trying to schedule it. She's felt like she's put in her hours with the baby, and now she's deserves this payback. She deserves this time off, and it doesn't always work that way. The human element can wreak havoc with your schedule.
Miranda and Steve, they're both seem to be afraid that they're going to accidentally kill the baby. Was that an anxiety of yours when you first became a mother?
No. Miranda and Steve seem to have a fair amount of new parent anxiety, which I personally, perhaps I'm callous or unfeeling. I was never particularly worried. I was not, when I was going to become a mother for the first time, I wasn't that worried about it, you know? I mean, I was a little worried about the labor, you know, the scariness and the pain and that kind of thing. But, you know, I didn't have much experience with children, or babies, but it didn't worry me too much, I gotta say.
So, how pregnant are you now?
I'm about 5 months.
The number of episodes of this season's worth of Sex and the City was shortened because of Sarah Jessica Parker's pregnancy.
Right.
Would yours have affected the shoots, too? I mean, how pregnant were you when you were shooting this season?
No, they would not have affected this season's. Let's see. We finished filming about 2 weeks ago, so I was about 4.5 months when they finished, and Sarah was about 6 months when they finished, so no, it wouldn't have been an issue. And I've got to say, I think that the wardrobe people and the prop people putting objects in front of her, you know, did a really great job and in disguising her pregnancy, you know, which was a little farther along than mine.
Well, my impression is that this season, all the women on Sex and the City are wearing different clothes than they used to be wearing. Trench coats, baggy sweaters.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, I know Miranda. I mean, Miranda, I would say Miranda is, but she's the only one that I would say that of, because Miranda definitely She's got a lot of things going on. She's got a lot of weight that she hasn't lost, post-pregnancy weight, which becomes an issue, you know, when she goes to Weight Watchers and, you know, decides to try and get back to where she used to be before she was pregnant. And I think, frankly, also Miranda does go through a little, you know, when you have a new baby, it kind of hits you hard. And, you know, these women spend an awful lot of time getting dressed and putting on their makeup and having their hair done. And Miranda, I think, in what I think is a kind of a realistic touch for us, you know, Miranda stops paying so much attention to that, and she kind of wears schlumpy clothes for a while because, you know, she's not sleeping. If she's not sleeping, she's probably not getting her hair cut and, you know, doing her beautiful makeup and putting together ensembles.
Miranda's body weight when she was pregnant and her body weight now after pregnancy has been a big issue on the show, just how she was physically transformed and mm-hmm. the discomfort and self-consciousness that it caused her. It sounds like that has not been an issue for you.
That has not been an issue for me, no. No, I never really moved in this world that Miranda moves in. You know, Miranda is the least of the four of them, maybe, but she's still kind of very interested in the clothes and very interested in the way she presents herself and kind of out in the dating world and so aware of how she looks and how she looks to men. And, you know, I've been out of the dating scene for, like, you know, 14 years, so not since I was, like, 21 or 22. So I, yes, was not such an issue for me.
Is there anything you envy about the single life as it's portrayed on Sex and the City?
The only thing that I would say that I would envy is, and all four of the actresses talk about this, is the amount of time these women are able to spend with each other.
Isn't it remarkable?
It's remarkable. In the same way people complain sometimes about how do these women find so many eligible, appealing men to date in this city. We may be stretching the truth a little bit. I think we're also stretching the truth in terms of even though the four of them are so close, I mean, these people see each other two or even three times a week. I mean, I have, you know, women in my life that I am certainly as close to as the four of these. But, you know, I'm lucky to see them once every couple weeks. I envy them their coffee shop time. Mm-hmm. That kind of time in which you can just loll about on a Saturday morning and catch up. Particularly, I would say, since I've had my daughter, you know, that kind of endless unscheduled time is not to be found plentifully in my life.
Cynthia Nixon is my guest. She plays Miranda on Sex and the City. You're pregnant now with your second child, and you're not married to your partner. You both decided not to get married. What's behind? You've talked about it before, so I don't feel uncomfortable asking you about
right.
this.
No.
But what are some of the reasons why you think marriage is not necessary for you?
Well, let's see. We've been together since we were 21, and we've known each other a lot longer than that. We've known each other since we were 12 or 13, because we went to junior high and high school and college together. So we've known each other a long time. I would say that in the first few months very soon in our relationship, I was going to say the first few weeks, but that's perhaps an exaggeration. In the first few months that we were together, we knew that we were going to be together, you know, forever or, you know, whatever. We were together. There was no question. So, and I got to say, we're both fairly serious people. We're both fairly devoted people. There's a lot of things that make me wary about marriage, but I also have got to say I've always felt so confident about Danny and so sure of him that I didn't really feel a need to sort of, you know, nail him down. I thought he's going to be here. You know, he's going to be here because he wants to be here, and I'm going to be here because I want to be here. And I had gone out with a guy actually before him for a long time, for about 5 years. And I had been sort of more anxious to marry my boyfriend before that because I felt more unsure about the relationship and I felt more unsure about where it was going to go. that I wasn't going to be able to hold on to him, and I wanted to hold on to him. And but when I got together with Danny, it didn't seem to be an issue. Also, it's not just as easy as that. It's not just as simple as that. I do have misgivings about marriage. Around the time that Danny and I got together, a couple of friends of mine who were married, their marriages were breaking up. And they both said similar kind of things to me, independent of each other, which was that their relationship really changed when they got married and they started to see the man that they were married to as, like, he lost his name, he just became sort of husband. And that they had all these expectations of him now that he was in this archetypal role, and it kind of got in the way of them really seeing him just as a person. And you know, I don't see any reason for it. And I would say our relationship is a fairly private relationship. You know, I have to go out on the town a fair amount. I am, you know, in a public profession, and he is a more private person. So he comes out for the events that he needs to come out for. But, to me, also at that time, marriage was something like a husband was sort of like an accessory that you had with you at the parties. And he's never been that kind of a partner for me. You know, he's my private guy. He's my private guy at home.
How do you think your daughter will feel as she gets older, having to tell friends that her parents aren't married to each other, even though they live together? Do you think that'll be an issue for her?
Oh, she tells people no. Yeah. She doesn't. She doesn't really like it. She's been asking us about it for years. I mean, she's five. She's almost six. She's been asking us about it for years. But I would say, you know, she has, my daughter is kind of the captain of the gender police. She's very, very, very girly. She gets very pleased with the more girly my clothes are. She used to be displeased with me if I would wear pants, or she used to say, women don't wear belts. I remember that was one of her cries. I got to say, first of all, I think so there are so many people with children and without children who are in long-term relationships and are not married. Now, I would think, unless there's some horrendous backlash that I'm not foreseeing, I think it'll be even more so as she gets older. And, you know, frankly, if it does bother her, I'm not that interested, I got to say. You know, it's my life and my decision, and I'm happy with it, and I can't imagine she will really be bothered by it when she grows up. But, you know, she can always go ahead and get married, and I would be thrilled to have her married and plan her wedding and all that stuff. But that issue just doesn't resonate with me.
My guest is Cynthia Nixon. She plays Miranda on Sex and the City. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Cynthia Nixon, and she plays Miranda on Sex and the City. Manhattan is one of the stars of the series. You've lived in Manhattan your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
What kept your parents in Manhattan after you were born? A lot of couples who start off in Manhattan leave for the suburbs, or at least for a neighborhood in Brooklyn, after mm-hmm. they have children, because Manhattan is very expensive, for one. There's no backyards.
I don't think my parents ever thought about leaving New York. For sort of separate reasons, probably. My father's dead, but he came from a very small town in Texas, and I think he found it stultifying and dull and very small towny, where your neighbors knew your business and passed judgment on it. I think when he came to New York in the 50s, he found it such an exciting place. He loved it, and I think he thought it was an exciting place not only for adults but for children, which I completely agree with him. My mother grew up in Chicago, and so she has always says about herself that she is a total city person, and that, you know, the country or the green, it's nice, it's pretty, a little passing diversion, but she always yearns to get back to the city, which seems to her like the real world and like real life, and gets invigorated by it. You sort of tend toward what you know, I guess, or what you come from. But to me, the city was such a great place to grow up, and such a for me when I had my daughter. So, you know, I can't imagine raising children anywhere else because there's so much here. There's so, like, my vision of hell would be to be, you know, living in a suburban house with a small child or a few small children and being isolated except for my, you know, alone with my kids in my backyard. I feel like the city is the best place to protect them because so many kids I knew who grew up in the suburbs, you know, once they hit teenagehood, it became so boring for them. There was nothing to do except go to each other's houses and drink. And you're so under your parents' thumb at a time when you just want to be free, free, free. And you're dependent on them to drive you around till you're 16 or whatever in a very demoralizing way. In New York, once you hit 11 or 12, you're on your own. You're on the subway. You're on the bus. You're your own independent person. And because you've grown up in the city, making your way and dealing with people, you know how to handle yourself. I think it's a great place to grow up.
Did September 11th change your feelings about living in Manhattan?
It changed it. It didn't change it. It made me wonder about it. You know, when September 11th happened, I had just started rehearsal for a play at the Roundabout Theater, and we were rehearsing on 42nd Street in the heart of Times Square. And we took a couple of days off of rehearsal, but then we went right back. And I was of two minds about it, and partly I thought, well, this is my life, and I just have to keep going on with it. I mean, the metaphor that people kept using at that time was it's like London during the Blitz and people were brave and they just went on, you know. And then there was another part of me that thought perhaps I'm totally being foolish here, you know, and perhaps I should be running for the hills and, you know, fleeing to Vermont or Canada or somewhere and hiding out. But I got to say that feeling passed after a month or two and it really felt like, you know, just sort of wild fear in the end rather than, you know, rationality.
How much do you know about what happens to your character next season?
I know nothing.
Are you curious? Do you ever wonder, like, what's she going to be
doing? Oh, yes.
Dying?
The last few years when we're about to start, we've had meetings, each of us separately, with the writers, and they kind of give us the arc, and they break it down episode by episode, which I, frankly, love. But in terms of next year, I really know nothing.
You love that process of them breaking it down for you?
I love it. I love to get as much information as possible.
What do you love about this process?
Well, first of all, I mean, I just, you know, I'm a fan of Sex and the City the way the viewers are a fan. So, I mean, it's like you want to know what happens. It's like a juicy novel. It's, you know, you want to know what happens to everybody. Cliffhanger, you know. I also just, frankly, I don't know. I always like lots of information. Like I, in a sort of a semi-drudgery-like, drudge-like way, I watch all of the dailies, which is the footage that we film. And there's, you know, hours and hours and hours of it. But I really like to scrutinize it and sort of watch my performance and see, you know, particular moments that work or takes that work better or worse or, you know, of the takes that I like, do they pick the one that I like or do they pick another take and why do they pick, you know. So I'm very much a detail-oriented person. So I'm an information gatherer.
Well, Cynthia Nixon, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Cynthia Nixon plays Miranda on Sex and the City. This is Fresh Air.